Well, Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, that you are a good, good Father.
Yes, you are.
Whew, that glory is just strong today.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. I thank you for this word that you want to release today, Father. I thank you, Lord, that our hearts are open to receive your truth. And I declare over these words that it truth only speaks, Father. And I thank you, Father, as we're going deeper into the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, that your spirit dwells within us and your spirit knows what truth is, Father God, and that we are able to discern your truth, Father. And as we go in and we dig into these depths and dig into these mysteries, Father God, that revelation pours forth out of it, Father. And we move away from, we step outside of religion, Father God, and we say that words aren't going to be an issue anymore. We're not going to let religion keep us from truth any longer, Father. And we won't let religion keep us from understanding the mystery of who we are in you as those new kainos beings, Father God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we just will set aside religion. I just bind up a spirit of religion in the name of Jesus from operating within any of us, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that we can step outside of a religion into the fullness of this new supernatural kainos being that we are, Father God, that we truly look like you, sound like you, smell like you, taste like you, Father, that we can enter into that place in the kingdom of heaven where the mysteries of the universe, the mystery of the biology of who we are, the mystery of how even this earth and we were created, Father God, there's so much depth in knowing who we are and who we are in you, Father God, and the mystery of who how you created us, Father God, and religion has kept us from digging into that and understanding that and being able to operate who we are from the kingdom of heaven, and has kept us from a place of ruling and reigning and lordship and kingship in you, Father, because of the fear of man and fear of religion. And just, Father, we just release all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we don't let the telltale, be afraid of that word. Don't use those words. Don't talk like that. Don't think like that. But, Father, we just dig into your mysteries, unabandoned, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we go into this centered in Christ. And so when we ask for bread, we know we're not going to get a snake. When we ask for your truth, we know we're not going to get a stone. And when we go in the door, which Jesus, you are the door, John 10:9, you are the door. And when we enter in through you, we know that the mysteries that you are revealing to us are of you, Father. And we're not going to have a snake. We're not going to have the enemy. We're not going to have new agey lies, Father. But we're going to have truth revealed. And religion and doctrines of men, Father God, have kept us and cheated us of the fullness that we could be walking in, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that those mysteries are revealed today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. You guys ready? That prayer kind of tell you where we're going today? We're going to be digging a little bit. Messing with some stuff that religion says don't go there. But don't let man's doctrines and religion cheat us. Amen. We're going to start in Proverbs 23. Starting in Proverbs 23:7, we're going to be looking at our belief system a little bit. We've had two lessons leading into this. And today's going to be not so much wordy, because I usually share lots and lots of word, because I was wanting to break down a little bit of what our belief system, how it operates and how it works. And I've been listening to some other scientists try to explain this stuff to me, so I'm trying to put it in a layman's term how I can do it. So that's what I've done with quantum physics. When I you know, wanted to teach on quantum physics, I'm like, oh, okay, God, how am I going to explain this, you know? But God helped. And so we're going to start with Proverbs 23:7. And as we're going into the renewing of our mind, this is officially the renewing of our mind series, and we may have several of them. And today I just felt like Holy Spirit wanted to deal with our belief systems, because that's where we led off from last week, where we taught on faith is the substance, and it was leading into how our belief, you know, dealing with our belief system. So Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And I have you if you guys follow me on Facebook, you have seen me share several examples of you know, speaking about things that we believe, how we think and whatever, and always tag it with, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so, you know, so he is." So, and it's truth. And as we look at science, and it's amazing that science is now proving the word of God. And even though some of them may not want to accept God or whatever, science is proving the word and the truth and how it operates. And truly, as we think in our heart, That's what we're living in. That's what we have. The life that we're living in now, we've created with our thought life or with our belief system. So I'm wanting to break it down to a point where hopefully today, and hopefully I can do it justice, that we can understand it a little bit. Because if we can understand this, then we can move into actually renewing that belief system, changing that belief system. And so we understand that the truth is as we truly think. And we've went through the whole faith era, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, and they were foundational. I'm not knocking them at all. Kenneth Hagin was a foundational root for me building the truth that I stand on, and I feel like he shared a lot of truth, but a lot of things were kind of left out understanding how all this operates. They would throw out there how to do this, and then you would be left with the only thing I remember, and I also hear other people say they couldn't, why can't we operate out of faith like them, is because they operated out of, they lived out of this place, but they couldn't maybe explain how to get there, the mechanics of it, so to speak. And but they meant, they were there, and they could share the highlights of it and the topics of it and whatever, but the one thing they usually left with was that you had to do something to earn it, though, and that was religion, and that would be the only thing that I would say that I felt was wrong from that era, that it was you had to earn it. You had to work hard enough, you had to pray hard enough, you had to study hard enough, and those things are important, but you're not doing it to earn that badge of faith. Because God said in his word that he's given every man a measure of faith, and that's all we need, because Jesus said if you had the faith as of a mustard seed. And so actually a lot of these things were dealing with the unseen realm, the soul realm, the spirit realm, who, in other words, we're understanding who we are, that kainos being, who we are, that place where we're seated in Christ. And these were all the things that were never touched on. They just touched on the outside material world of this reality. Matter, the things that we can touch and see and feel, and our five physical senses, and it didn't take us beyond into the supernatural realm, the unknown realm. But God, we are in a new era where God's showing us who we are in him. And actually these were things that were old, known by the old, we call them mystics, but even we've discounted Catholics. I'm not in total agreement with Catholicism and a lot of their religious beliefs, but some of the old saints, they knew this stuff, and that's why they had such great signs and wonders and could translate in the spirit and do all the things that they'd done, because they didn't have all that we went through. Yeah, extra baggage, religion. So let's get into this. Let's see. A program belief system. I want to look at our belief system. Our belief system is, and I'm going to read a little bit. It seems like I'm going to read a little bit, but we'll get into it and get into the meat of it. Our belief system is the programmed mind. Now, I shared last week about how we operate out of a program, it seems like. And that program is dictating what we're living in right now. And I had said before touching on the whole faith movement, was you have to speak. Everything you say, you're going to create with your words. The word does say that your words are creative, but I always say, I wouldn't dare say that you won't have a word unless first you have a thought. You have to have a thought before you can have a word. So whatever you're thinking is going to come out of your mouth. But we're, as we deal into this, we're wanting to move away from just the positive words, because positive words are coming from your conscious mind, which is that the conscious is relatable to the natural realm, and operates out of the five physical senses. The subconscious is the one that's in the supernatural realm, the unseen realm, and that's the program that we have. So I'm going to try to break that down a little bit. Speaking positive thoughts, putting your little, your positive declaration, and I'm saying declarations are good. I'm not saying they're not good, because we've seen how they're affecting us, because they're creating an atmosphere. They're creating an environment, but they're still, I'm just going to say it this way. How many of us, because I'm old enough I can say this, some of the younger ones may not be able to say this, but I've been speaking and speaking and speaking, and we use the sticky notes everywhere, and we've done all the positive words and all this stuff for years and years and years, and 20 years later we're still living the same. How come? Because we're living from a program that has been programmed in us from our youth. And so that's where we're going to kind of go with this, because in other words, we'd say, how come this hasn't worked for us yet? If it's just speaking, because there's a program. So even though we're doing the declarations and everything, they're releasing an atmosphere, they're releasing a frequency, but if you're not seeing a change, that's your telltale sign that there's a program that you're automatically living from. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so that's what we want to, if we're going to have the renewing of our heart, like Paul was speaking of in Romans 12, 2, then we have to change the program. It needs to be reprogrammed. Okay. And we were using the analogy of computer systems to help some of us understand it. That's easy for me. You need something to connect it with. You know what I'm talking about? So it helps you to have that. So our belief system is the programmed mind. It is the combination of all our memories, emotions to those memories, training, and education since birth. They say that this started, your programming started in the last trimester, the third trimester of pregnancy is when the programming actually started. The baby can pick up on things while it's still in mommy's tummy, and it starts being programmed from there. So the mind, as we look at the mind, it has two parts. If we want to look at when the word says, as a man thinks in his heart, that is where your mind, your soul, the mind of your heart. There's so many scriptures, and I didn't, you know, we've touched on those the last two lessons, so I didn't want to repeat those. But the mind has two parts. It's the subconscious part and the conscious part. The subconscious part, which is a reservoir or program of feelings. It's thoughts, urges, memories that are outside of our conscious awareness. So your subconscious just does its thing. It's rolling, it's running, we are like a complex, I'm not even going to call us a machine because we're not a machine, an organic machine. I used to like, when the Holy Spirit was starting to teach me this, it's so amazing because the Holy Spirit was teaching me stuff and I didn't even know it until I started finding that the Holy Spirit was showing me those things back when we were living out in the country, I can't remember, out by Hillsdale. And I was, at first I was like, okay, God, you know, because I was dealing with some physical things. And he's like, I started reading into it and then I got afraid of, oh, this might be too new agey. This is, you know, and so therefore religion was still keeping me, my old program was still keeping me from wanting to even dig into it, not realizing that we can dig into this stuff and see what scientifically they're talking about, but we don't have to, we do it through Christ. So, you know, you don't have to be afraid of the information. Okay, we don't have to be afraid of the information. We can take the information and the word can bring the information into alignment with how God created us. So that subconscious part is where we are running automatically. And it runs from its training from the third trimester up until like 6-7 years old. It can process 40 million bits of data per second from the environment every second. Think about that. In other words, keeping your heart flow, keeping your blood going, keeping, you know, think of how according to biology, how your body runs. We consciously couldn't make our body, you can't think, keep your heart beating, keep your blood flowing, I'm walking, I'm talking, consciously you can't, your subconscious program runs your body. Plus deals with all the outside, external things that are happening. If you think about the complexity of it, that's why it has to process 40 million bits of data per second. Think about it. That's your subconscious. And it's pre-programmed. It's very powerful, very fast, but it's habitual. It will do the same thing over and over and over. And it's not creative at all. It's running from a program, how it was programmed. It can only play back what it learns. And I put learns because it can be reprogrammed. So it's not, you're not stuck in learned. And I've been studying a lot the epigenetics, which is the opposite of quantum physics or quantum mechanics, but it's a Newtonian math, which they use for, that's why I'm saying it. I'm getting kind of deep here, and Holy Spirit's helping me understand this stuff, or Spirit of Wisdom. But modern medical science is Newtonian math and Newtonian science, and that's where they say your genetics, you're stuck with whatever your genetics are. They say genetics runs you and it can't be changed. But quantum physically and through quantum physics science, they say no, your genes are not set. They are not the program, or they are just waiting, or they're waiting to be programmed. And so it's the environment that influences your genetics. So your genetics won't say it. If they say, for instance, your mother had cancer, therefore you're going to be prone to have cancer because it's genetic code, you can't change that. That's according to quantum physics science, and according to epigenetic science, that's a lie. Because the scientists that I was listening to, there's two or three of them, says, and modern science won't receive it because pharmaceutical companies run the medical community, and there's no money in saying that your body can heal itself. There's no money in saying that you have to have chemical medications to heal yourself, because your body will heal. And God created us. We are a fantastic, unbelievable, I can't even put words to it. Yes, God created us to heal ourselves. Let's move on. The second part of our mind is our conscious part, which contains all of our thoughts, memories, feelings, and wishes, of which we are aware of. Subconscious ones, we're not aware of those. That's the program that we operate in. Our conscious part, we're aware of those at any given moment, and that's what it means to be present. So when we say we want to be in the now, you want to live in the present, that's your conscious part, the things that we are conscious of. So things that you are doing, like I'm doing this right now, I am conscious what I am doing, but my subconscious is operating behind the scene. So that's where having positive words that we're saying, stuff like that, don't really, because you're doing that with your conscious mind. When you're saying these things, you're doing it with your conscious, and you can say it. We can be saying, "I am healthy. I'm well. I'm prosperous." We like in the faith moment. I have a brand new car. I have this. I have that. So you can speak all those things, and then 20 years later, we still don't have them. We're like, "And I've been doing it for 20 years faithfully. How come?" Because you're doing that from your conscious mind, but your subconscious is pre-programmed maybe to be poor, sick, disease, lack, whatever, and it's working 40 million times faster and more powerful than our conscious mind that only processes at 40 bits of data per second. Wow. Now, I'm breaking all this down because we're going to learn how to reprogram our belief system by the help of the Holy Spirit to help me do this. I might pull on Ben a little bit somewhere in here. You may have to help me when it gets complicated and teach a lesson here. So, understanding that our conscious mind is the mind that is present, we're aware, we know what we're talking about, we're engaged with it, it's the now, it's the present. The subconscious mind is about 1 million times more powerful than the conscious mind. While the subconscious is fast, the conscious is slower at processing. The difference between the two is that the subconscious is habitual. That means it's just going, it's programmed, it's just going to happen. And the conscious mind is creative. And that's where God was saying that we are creative and our words are creative, but it needs to be the subconscious that's 40 million more times powerful in processing data is the one that's actually creating our world, even though our conscious mind and the words that, and declarations we do make are creative, but the other one's more powerful and it's overriding. That program's overriding our conscious mind. So our conscious mind is creative and can generate free will. The conscious mind can control anything in our body. When we start moving into reprogramming our subconscious mind to line up with our conscious mind of everything that we're wanting to operate out of the declarations, all that we're speaking, all that we're learning, when that subconscious, once the program's there, it's there. They say it takes 7 years. They come in and they would raid villages, the Jihetsus, or I can't think what you call them. They were priests, and they came in and they would take all the villagers. Yeah, they would take all the villagers' children and said, "We're going to raise that. We're going to take them for 7 years." And they out of that era of time, they said, give me a child for 7 years, give me a child, a boy for 7 years, and then I'll show you the man after that. In other words, their first 7 years of training, that's the programming, and then that will be who they will be when they're a man. And they say you can't change it. That's what modern Newtonian science says, you can't change it. Once you've done it, you can't. But we know now through epigenetics, and I'm going to continue to study that because it's very interesting, but also I feel like Holy Spirit's been leading me into this because my heart's cry is to be, wake me up, God. And so he started showing me all this stuff. And then he had to deal with the fear of New Age stuff and religion and everything, so he's been dealing with all that. So I want to give you a couple examples of the conscious mind controlling your body. One example is some people can control their heartbeat, their blood temperature with their conscious mind. Have you heard of the swimmers that are able to go in and go down and they can lower their body temperature, they can lower their heart rate, and they can stay down there for without oxygen for time? You know, these are people that are practicing, doing this little thing where they're learning how to use their conscious mind to control their physical bodies. But while the conscious mind can only handle a few things, the subconscious mind can do many thousands of tasks at the same time. So they may be able to consciously control their blood, their heartbeat, control their blood temperature, slow down their breathing so they can hold their breath for, you know, more minutes than is naturally possible. But the they can only do those few little things, but the subconscious can do thousands of things at a time, at the same time. Just think how your body's running and functioning. It's not going to do it by itself. The subconscious programming of our mind is doing that for us. And if you think about that, that's how come we may have illness and different problems we're dealing with. We may have, it's just, as I get into it, maybe we'll touch on some of those things. But that program, subconscious program, is running and creating the life that we're living right now, not only physically, but the matter, the things that we have, possess, relationships, all sorts of different things. So there has been scientific studies on how our subconscious shapes our life. It's amazing, and this is through quantum science, of course. They're the ones studying all of this. The other's already set in its ways, and they're not going to change. But according to cognitive neuroscientists, we are conscious only about 5% of our cognitive activity. I touched on this last week. For most people, 1% of their day is in the conscious mind. Think about that. 1 to 5% of your day is in your conscious mind, where you are aware of what you're doing. That's like, when I read that and heard that, I was like, that is just ridiculous. So every day we are creating from only 1% or 5% of what is going on in our life. And that's why you think, how come things haven't changed over 20, 30 years? It's because the other 99 to 95% is your subconscious creating what you're living in and what you are having. So if we're not happy, remember I used to say, if you're not happy with what you have, you better change it. Well, we were left with, well, how do we do that? So this is why Holy Spirit's opening us up and leading us into this. So therefore, 95 to 99% of our life comes from our programming in our subconscious mind. Another example, maybe you were the child in a store asking for candy, and your parents said, you do not deserve that candy. Now, you think that may just be a simple little statement, but words are programmed. Think of the word processor. If you're going to program the computer, you have to put in the code, and then it receives it. The same thing with children, and they are in a developmental stage. It's called theta stage, and they are in the stage where they are receiving programming, receiving information, just like a computer, and you are sending them code through your words, whatever you're speaking, whatever you're saying, how you act, your circumstances of life. You are programming your child, and we were programmed the very same way, not just by our parents, but education, friends, relationships, family, teachers. They all had a play in programming us. So if you were that child in the store asking for candy, and your parents said you do not deserve that candy, and if you were told long enough, if that happened enough times, it could be any, they may hear it at the store, then they may hear it at home. Can I do this? No, you don't deserve to do that, And if they're constantly being told you don't deserve that, then you were told long enough that you didn't deserve something, you were programmed to believe that you are not deserving. That becomes a program within them. And then acting out of your programmed subconscious, after that's programmed, when they're 30 years old, 95% of their day, they will create that negative experience in their life that they don't deserve. They are not deserving. And therefore, they can't receive. There's no blessings that's going to come to them. They're constantly going to create circumstances are just going to, because it's like when we shared the tuning forks, one frequency is released, the other's going to be attracted to it. And then if they're releasing a frequency of, I am not deserving, I don't deserve good things, I don't deserve to be blessed, I don't deserve friendships, I don't deserve a good relationship, I don't deserve to be healthy. Think about how it is. If that's the program of your life, then you are attracting, and like I said, just like the law of gravity is a law, and it's real. The law of attraction is a law, and it's real. And you're going to attract that same frequency to you. And therefore, every circumstance in your life, you're going to be attracting something that causes, that is not deserving in your life. Blessing won't come. You won't have health if you feel like you don't deserve health. You won't. So that's a program that we're operating out of. And you can be speaking that I am blessed. I have a new car. I have a new home. I have health. I am prosperous, whatever. But if your programming is releasing, see, and when you do that, you're operating out of your conscious, which is 1% to 5%. So, and actually, it could be less than 1%, because if we only spend 5 minutes a day speaking, declaring over ourselves that I'm prosperous, I'm healthy, I'm whatever, then the other 99.99% is speaking, I don't deserve, releasing a frequency of I don't deserve, or I'm sick, or I'm going to, you know, I'm genetically programmed to have cancer, for instance, and I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just releasing these things because I want your mindset to be changed as well. Because you will live, because that is a lie. That is genetically a lie, and that you can change your genetics. I grab a hold of this because there was a lot of things that were in my family's health lines. And I'm like, I don't have to I used to think, well, genetically, we just have to have that, you know. And that's why when a doctor says, fill out this form, and what is, did your parents have diabetes? Did they have heart disease? Did they have this? And you're just listing off all these things. That's your program. You're just feeling, yep, I agree. I align myself with all that. And, you know, that's what we live out of. That's the that's the program that we live from. The reason why is the subconscious job is to create reality out of this program. That's what the subconscious job is for, is to create reality. We are creative beings. When we were, the reason God created mankind on the earth, humankind on the earth, was to recreate, was to create as it is in heaven on the earth. But we got programmed, a different programmed after the fall, but Jesus came back to restore us from the fall, restore us back to our original state of origin in him. And that's where religion failed us, is that it's still saying we are living in the Old Testament religious mindset, you know, and we're still waiting for, religion is still waiting for Messiah. And that, you know, even though we say Jesus has come, in religion we are still stuck at the cross. But Jesus was crucified, and guess what? He has risen. And now we are like him now, not on the cross, but risen. And we share that risen power in him. Therefore, if you have negative programming, 95% of the day you will create that negative experience in your life. So whatever the conscious mind focuses on, remember the conscious is what you do 1% to 5% of the day. It can control it if it focuses on it, okay? Just like the people that can regulate their heartbeat and their breathing and everything. But what it's not focusing on, the subconscious mind controls. So if most of the day we are thinking about the future or the past with our conscious mind, then we are not in the present moment. Our conscious mind is not focused on the present. How many get trapped in this when we're thinking about, oh, that person done this to me. Oh, this way. Or you're thinking about, I wish I could have this. I wish I could have that. I wish, you know, that's the future thought. The other's the, you know, you're stuck in all the things that happened to you in the past. And there's some good things we think on too. But most of the time, and they said scientifically it's proven that most of the time people have negative thoughts instead of positive thoughts, which is, you know, we even see that in the church world as well. Then everything we are doing during the day is being run by what? The program, which is our subconscious. Therefore, most of every day we're not playing programs that we personally want. If your conscious mind is only 1% of the day and it's usually stuck in the past, and that's why I was sharing in the lesson on eyes and wings, that we have to stay focused forward. We can't look back. We have to keep our eyes forward, present and forward. And if we keep it present, and then if we control with our conscious mind and we're reprogramming ourselves, then our future, we are planning our future from a new program, not the old program. Therefore, most of our day, we're not playing programs that we personally want. We are playing programs that we got from other people, such as parents, teachers, peers, family, and friends. So our life is not reflecting what we want, but the program we were given. Think about it. But don't allow yourself to get into the point, well, my subconscious is evil. It's just a bad thing, you know. That would be a lie of the enemy. Your subconscious is just a program. It's One scientist was saying, just look at it. Of course, you could tell he was old school, a tape player, a CD player or something like that, MP3 player. We could say we modernized that a little bit. But just think of it as a MP3 player, CD player, and that it will only, once the button's pushed, then it's going to constantly play that. But it's only playing what was input into it. It's only playing a programmed code, you know, what it was input into. So it's not something bad. It's got to be reprogrammed. We need to erase and delete the old program and rewrite it. So the way out is the renewing of our mind, changing the program, changing our subconscious and how it operates. And this can be accomplished. It can be done. Romans 12:2. Let's go look at that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. That's the programming, being conformed to this world. But be transformed, that means transfigured, renewed, totally changed, reprogrammed by the renewing of your mind. Think about this. I looked up renewing in Strong's, and it meant repetition, reversal, regenerate, and new. And repetition meant something made by or resulting from repeating. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. The synonyms of repetition were practice, to rehearse, and to repeat. So I do not in any way endorse hypnosis. I just want to put that out there. But we want to look at hypnosis as a word, or it used to be referred to as a medical word. I want to look at it as a word and the meaning behind it. Now, I'm going to give an example here. For example, I would never go to somebody and be hypnotized, okay? And this isn't what the scientist was talking about. He's talking about the medical term of what hypnosis means when he was breaking this down. But I want to share this in case people get hung up on just because that's what religion do. When I say hypnosis, boom, your programmed religious mindset will automatically shut off and you're not going to hear no more. I'm going to use yoga for an example. I will never, ever participate in yoga. Why? Because yoga is a religion. It's Hinduism, and it's a religion. There is no such thing as Christian yoga. Now, there is a thing as calisthenics, stretching, you know, body movement, all that kind of stuff. But if you decide to do yoga and how they have set it up, even though people have tried to move it to play Christian music and everything, it is a religion, and it's rooted in religion, and it's rooted in a spirit, which Hinduism is a spirit they're worshiping. And so it is, yoga is Hinduism. Hypnotism or hypnosis is not a religion. It's a medical term, but it has been used for people to use the back door to go into the subconscious realm, okay? So we're using it as a medical term. I wanted to explain that, and so everybody would understand. I don't want your mind, your program, to shut off and not hearing where I'm going after this, okay? Breathe. We can do this. I am going to mention it only because of how science refers to it in the programming of the mind in the early formative years of childhood. It is the same state of mind which is in our formative years, which is called theta. I can't pronounce that right. But that is the state of imagination. We are going to watch a video after this that will help. The scientist is going to explain all this that I can't do justice to. But there's different stages that our mind is in. And that stage from being born, actually from that third trimester, which I thought that was just amazing how they explained it, the third trimester up until 7 years old, around that range. And in religion, we used to call it, you don't come to an age of accountability till whatever. And all kids are different because all kids function differently. They're raised differently. They have different environments they're in. Some may come to that age or past this age of this time of theta programming where their minds are at this stage, or what we call in religion a age of accountability at different ages, because it depends on their lifestyle. But this is the state of imagination that kids live in. It's the state of lower consciousness. For example, when a child goes and they're riding a broomstick, that's a horse. You know, if they're playing cowboys and Indians, they're actually, you know, that's the state of imagination. And it's the place where functionally your brain is at a theta. And I can't explain it. That's why I'm going to use this this video to help you guys see this. And we need to look at it from a with an open heart. And he may say a few things that you may think, oh, that's New Age. Oh, that's new. And I used to do this, and that's how I processed, and I would shut myself off, and then I wasn't receiving what the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me. So look at it with an open heart, knowing that when we're asking God for bread, we're not going to get a stone, and you know, we're not going to get a snake when we're asking for truth. But it's called this, the theta stage is called this lower state of consciousness. Hypnosis is an artificially induced trance state resembling sleep, characterized by heightened susceptibility to suggestion, and its synonym is a trance. And I was like, oh, this is getting good, because we are learning how to ascend, how to go into heaven, we're starting to learn about being raptured in the spirit. There are several scriptures that I give on here that is the very same scriptures as being in a trance, as being raptured, where John was saying, I was caught up in the spirit, that is being raptured in the spirit. Hypnosis is actually how that trance-like state is defined in medical community as hypnosis. And that wasn't a dirty word back before, until religion made it a dirty word for us. And even in the regular world, it's not. But we was like, hypnosis, run, you know. But, you know, it's actually describing a term of what it's like to be in a trance-like state. So the word trance means rapture, dream, ecstasy. This is out of Strong's. A state of complete mental absorption. You're going to do the tongue twister too. Or deep musing. I love the musing, because meditation is important. Religion has stopped us from meditating, and the Word talks about meditating. John and Paul and all those talked about meditating. And religion, those scriptures that I shared the week before about, don't allow religion, theology, doctrines of men to cheat us. You know, it has cheated us. It's an unconscious, cataleptic, or hypnotic condition. That's what a trance is. And Paul himself in Acts 10, we're going to go look at that. Acts chapter 10. Verse 9 says, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Verse 10, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were made ready, while they were cooking the food, he fell into a trance. Right there. And I heard Justin Paul Abraham teach on this, is that one way to enter into the kingdom, to go into that subconscious unknown realm, is through delight. And he used this one as example, as food. He says, I use food. He's like, pumpkin pie. And it's like, ooh, I can just get raptured on the thought. He says, delight. He says, and Peter done the same thing. He smelled the food and he went into a trance. So that delight took him into a trance. But it is truth that delight will, because if you don't have a heart that is content and happy and full of delight, and like I was saying, when you read and you're just studying the word, you can think about things that bring you joy and peace, and that delight will open your gateway up, and then you can enter in. And then we will go into when I looked up trance there, Strong said displacement of mind, ecstasy, and trance again. And then let's look at Acts 22, and I'll have two confirmations here. Of course, you guys don't struggle with all this, but in case the MP3 gets out there somewhere. Acts 22, verse 17 says, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance. And that word trance meant ecstasy. Ecstasy is in the spirit. And then I shared some more scripture. If anybody wants to look at them, if you can get your PDF open and highlight that. But let's go to Hebrews 5. I want to switch it and go to 5 because I want to show that little, it's about 15 minutes video that I want to show. Hebrews chapter 5. And verse 14. Says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. We're eating on some solid food today. You know, where we have been going, and as we go into this deeper, this is solid food. We're throwing out some T-bone steaks today. It's to those who are of full age. We are still in that mentoring age, but we're entering into the fullness of sonship. That's where we're going. So we're no longer the baby needing the milk. Now we need some meat so that we can mature into fullness of age and come into that sonship time. And it says that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Now I want to just look at that for a minute. It's by reason of use. So when we were looking up there at the renewing of the mind in Romans 12, 2, and that renewing meant repetition, it meant to practice, to rehearse, to repeat. It's something that you're causing to do over and over and over. And when it says it's by reason of use that we by reason of use that we have our senses exercised. So if we want to have it to a point when we come into fullness, maturing, and that we can know the things of the Spirit, it's by reason of use. It's by practice. We do them over and over. We rehearse those is where we're going with that. So the word use in Strong's means habit, practice, or repetitive. So you see how the two are connected. For wanting to renew our mind, we have to practice something. We have to use something to repetitively. So for wanting to reprogram our subconscious, where I'm going with all this, is there that we're going to have to get to a point that we're going to do something habitually and practice it and rehearse it to the point that we're reprogramming our mind. It also means channel, C-H-A-N-N-E-L, not like a channel on a TV, but the channel of an act or to go through something. Channel means a strait, a passage, a rut, conduit, or a trench. Now, I've shared before how neural pathways are created. A neural pathway, actually, which is your old programming, has created a rut in your mind, in your brain system, or how your brain functions. Now, our brain is, you know, our heart is what we think out of, our soul, our mind, will, emotions, but our brain is what helps regulate that and control that, and which helps the program function. So it needs the brain to do that. So neural pathways is the equivalent of digging a new trench or creating a new rut. So in other words, if we want to get out of the old rut, the old program, we're going to have to create a new channel, straight pathway, a new rut. And it's accomplished through repetition, through exercising our senses, our conscious mind, and from it's to create from a new program. So I don't know if that ties in how we're going to do this. I haven't shared how to do it yet. We're dealing with just our belief system today. But I wanted to look at Theta just for a minute as I was getting ready today, and I was just looking over this. I wanted to break Theta down a little bit before we go into the video clip. It says, I did share, but it said, Theta is the state of imagination like a child. I have to read my own reading here. Mirroring the real world, I think is what I put, and the imaginary world. That's an expression of their brain function. Theta is the equivalent of a trance. We have to bypass the conscious mind and go to the subconscious to affect the programming. So when we get to that theta stage is where we're bypassing the conscious mind, and we have to go to that conscious. And that's where children are at in that, you know, 1 to 7 stage, is they're operating out of a theta brain function, and that's where they're programmable. And we can be programmable. We can reprogram ourselves, but we have to get to a point where we can get to that theta stage again so that we can reprogram. One way we can do that is through being ascension, through going, when I've said before, people is like, I don't know how to deal with a situation. I said, I don't know either. Let's go sit before, just go and sit before the throne. Just go sit in his glory. In other words, ascend, go there. Holy Spirit's going to help you, because I don't know how to help you. They don't know how to help themselves. And praying in the Spirit will bring you into your subconscious, will bring you into your spirit man. And if you just pray in the Spirit, and the Word confirms it, that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit knows how to pray. And we can just pray in the Spirit. That will get you into that theta brain function stage. And then just pray in the Spirit as long as you can keep your conscious mind from wandering, or your subconscious to take over, you know. And in other words, you can see how they're connected here. But those are a few things we can do. But it's this childlike state that I wanted to look at. And I don't want us to be like, oh, that's just nonsense stuff. Well, let's go look at Matthew 18. And you guys probably know what scripture I'm going to share here. Matthew 18, verse 3 says, Jesus is the one saying this. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means, this is even more powerful, enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people might think, well, I can't go to heaven. No, the kingdom of heaven is within us. That unknown realm, that place, there's a garden in our heart. There is that place, there's realms upon realms, and for us to enter into that, we have to get into that. Now science has explained it to me. I didn't know all the stuff was out there. That theta stage, or that theta part of us to enter in. So if we're struggling ascending, if we're struggling entering into that place in our heart, Jesus was trying to explain it to us. You have to become like a little child. We have to get back to that theta brain function. And they may help explain this. And my next one, I'm hoping, and that's, and if Ben is able to, no, Ben, you have a lot on your plate. I don't want to ask you if he's able to explain that more. I might have him teach it. But this is the state we have to get back into. It's that place of being like a little child. That theta brain functioning, where we can enter in and we can enter into the kingdom of heaven, that unknown realm within us, and then we can go in and we can reprogram that old program within us. And because I'm trying to look at this from a Christology point, being in Christ, and not just science only, but science can help explain. God's bringing me out of religion, and therefore we can enter into fullness of sonship. And that's where we're going with all this. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that truth is entering our hearts. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are awakening us on a deeper level. I thank you that the seven spirits before the throne are instructing us, mentoring us, bringing us into that place of fullness of sonship in you, and teaching us who we truly are as those supernatural kainos beings, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father God, that you continue to do that which you've begun in us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.